I had also
looks very phallic there for a second.
I like this look. I think it should just. I like it just blocking the whole camera.
This is true POV podcasting right here.
This is a strong view. I'm gonna take a screenshot of this, just so that we can put this on the podcast. We can put this on the tweeter. I totally forgot, and I said that kid had a punchable face. And I was literally earlier today, like, rewatching some of it and fantasizing about being. Who's the guy that he wrecked?
Brandon Jones.
Brandon Jones, that's right. I was literally fantasizing about being Brandon Jones and getting punched in the face. What's up, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of the Big One Podcast. I'm here with me, your boy, new guy, and whoa, would you look at who else is here with me? Why don't you introduce yourself, fellas?
Baby G on the horn.
And B-Boy's here.
There he is. He's far away. It took a while for my voice to carry on over there. How you doing, boys?
Doing pretty good this evening. Ready to talk NASCAR. It's been a good trek through the season so far, and we're ready to bring it home in Phoenix.
This is it. This is the ultimate, not the penultimate. This is the ultimate race, or ultimate races, I guess.
Good word. I'm like stunned. We're here. We've made it. You know, it's been a long season. A lot of races in NASCAR. Call me crazy.
A lot of bumps and scrapes. One guy was like set on fire at one point. Another guy's retired because he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
It's been tough. It's probably the toughest like season that I can remember.
A lot of brain damage. A lot of potential brain damage, and that's
a lot of brain damage.
Not cool. Apologize for laughing. Any drivers out there that are listening, but
yeah. Speaking of, I do want to talk about Reddick when we talk about this week's race, because that was weird. I don't know that I have all the information there.
Is he listening?
I think so. I want to get him on the horn, as
nice.
It were.
That's good.
But yeah, we're the Big One Podcast. If you've never listened to us before, we're a motorsports podcast. We've been recapping most of the season, the playoff episodes. I think we're particularly good. Well done, gentlemen. Follow us at Podcast Big One on Twitter. I'm like more active than ever there. I also, y'all should just have the logins there so you can say bullshit too.
Yeah. I tweeted at the podcast and then realized that my tweet was dumb. I'll get to it later, and then deleted it.
Okay.
So, had to scrub that from the internet.
Yeah. I was
cut
like,
that,
hold
cut
on.
Cut that.
This is stupider than the usual shit I tweet.
Twitter's going to be getting even stupider now with the Musk acquisition.
It's pretty musky already.
Yeah, this is that's what this episode is about, actually. We're not talking about the playoffs. But in the meantime, the sponsor this week, and I mean, I'm amazed that we were able to get it, because we actually did get this before this weekend happened, so crazy coincidence, is NASCAR Heat 2005 for the GameCube.
Wow.
Ooh.
Deep cut.
I don't think they're going to make any money off of this sponsorship, but
no.
Download your closest Dolphin emulator, plug a USB controller on in, Google site colon reddit.com GameCube ROMs NASCAR 2005 Heat, and you'll be there.
You know, for the life of me, I would not have been able to guess when he was explaining it. I would not have been able to guess that GameCube would have been his
amazing
system.
That was incredible.
Amazing.
I was like,
what a specific.
My guy's rocking the GameCube as his primo console back in the day. That was
Damn.
Those
Yeah.
were always the weird kids in school, so
I
they
know.
Were.
I
were.
Was one.
He's the weird guy. He's the weird guy.
I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, damn.
Yeah, maybe you're less Blaney and you're more Ross, you know?
I think maybe. He doesn't have the same hair, but we can get to it in a little bit. Let's go ahead and start off with the truck race, the past couple races in truck. What's been going on there?
Fill so we've in. Only missed one. Only one has happened since the last
this
time
truck schedule.
We talked. I know, it's a really annoying.
This is the level of filling
really
in I need.
It's I wish they would fix that part for sure. But yeah, so they were at Homestead, which was the middle race for the other two series, and that was their finale. Ty Majeski gets his second win in 3 weeks, so he won two of the final three races in that round, and those were the only two wins that he's ever gotten. And so momentum, a lot of momentum right now for Ty Majeski when it matters most in going into the finale. John Hunter Nemechek misses the finale after just, honestly, I think it was like lap four or something like that. He had an issue, like he hit the wall. And he just had just a terrible race. Like he had every opportunity to race his way in and basically did the exact opposite of a Christopher Bell, which is what we're going to start calling being able to race your way in because this guy's insane.
coming in clutch
Ty
every
Majeski,
week.
Ty Majeski, obviously. Yeah, yeah. Ty Majeski, obviously, in. Zane Smith, also in. Chandler Smith, also in. And Ben Rhodes, your previous champion, in. So that's, by my count, that's two of the four that were in it last year, including the previous champion. So really excited to see how this will play out. I mean, again, I don't want to tip my cap to anyone while we go through the race recaps because I want us all to pick who we think will win in each series. So keep that in mind. But, you know, it's an interesting one for trucks. You know, there's a lot of different teams represented there, which is probably my favorite thing about that. Because moving on to Xfinity, there's not a lot of team difference there. They did race all three of the races that the Cup did for this round. Josh Berry won Vegas. That's a junior motorsports car that made his way in. Gregson just straight up dominated Homestead. I mean, it's his like favorite track. They're super good there. A really good car. And so he puts himself in another junior motorsports car. And then old Ty Gibbs takes out his teammate. And wins at Martinsville, but puts himself in. He was technically already locked in when he wrecked his teammate. He could have wrecked himself out of the race in that moment and still made the final four. And his teammate could have made it too. But instead of that, Josh Allgaier ends up pointing his way in and makes it a 3 out of 4 junior motorsports final four, which is really awesome.
It's impressive.
Yeah, that's sick as hell for junior motorsports. This was one of the few Xfinity races that I actually caught.
It was a good race. It was a really good race. Yeah.
I enjoyed the racing. I don't like Ty Gibbs at all.
No. Yeah.
I swear this is the dumbest shit. This is the dumbest shit.
He earns like the tiniest bit of merit and then just throws it all away by doing like two or three dumb things in a row.
I mean,
like, the guy is insane.
It's insane to like don't wreck your teammate and don't wreck your teammate when you're already into the fucking finals and he's trying to get in too. It's insane. Like,
I think what's crazy is his name wasn't Ty Gibbs. If he was Ty anything else and he was not related to the team owner, do you think he does that? Hell the fuck no.
Absolutely not. And what I'm curious about here is like, what does this organization do anything about this? Do they like...
They said... Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Did they announce any sort of punishment?
They said that they were going to handle it internally, which really probably means nothing. But you do have to talk to the guy. This is what I think a lot of people don't understand, and I do want to get to the question of what will Brandon Jones do this week, but like people don't seem to understand how much teams like they get bonuses, like all the guys in the shop, all the guys in the pit crew, people that travel with the team every week, the PR, they get bonuses based on performance. When they make the final four, they get pay bumps. They get things, right? Like it's a big fucking deal. And so when your team has the chance to have two drivers in instead of one, and honestly have a guy that you can possibly work with on setups, I mean, granted, you know, Ty wants to beat Brandon Jones, okay. Ty's probably the more talented driver. He's probably going to have the better car. I don't doubt that, like, Joe Gibbs is going to give Brandon Jones a fucking toaster oven as an engine this week, like, because he doesn't want him to take him out, but, like, It just baffles me that you wouldn't want to have a second car in there. It's insane.
It's really bad strategy. It's like terrible team play. Like what I'm really curious about is like is there going to be any sort of punishment? And I don't think that there is. And I think that that's really bad because there's like not going to be, he's not going to learn from this. You know, it seems like the type of thing where maybe the people for the crew members working for the other driver who are missing out on these bonuses are going to be pissed at Ty, but it's not like they can do anything because he's a fucking owner's grandkid.
Right.
So like you can't step out of line or else you're going to lose your fucking job.
Yeah.
And like
shitty
the extra layer of it is that like Ty doesn't even need to fucking win this championship. Even if he wasn't already locked in, he doesn't need to win this championship because he's already got a almost definitely got a fucking riding cup already.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I can see the only thing that I can really see is that maybe this means like maybe this would lead to them waiting before promoting him up to cup next year. But I don't think they're going to do that. They're not going to like,
no, I don't.
If they're not punishing him before else. About this repeated pattern of him being a dick, they're not going to do it now. So like
there's no one else to bring up. Like the only person that potentially Toyota has in the pipeline is John Hunter. And honestly, like, he's probably not ready. He needs to drive Xfinity, I think, next year in the Ty Gibbs car, basically. But, yeah, Brandon Jones is on his way out. You know, this is his last year with Joe Gibbs, and he's going to Junior Motorsports. He's going to the 9 car, who has frankly dominated this season. So I'm really excited to see what Brandon Jones does in that car next year and see if he's able to perform better. But he's trading in, you know, A-plus equipment for A-plus equipment kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, my big question for y'all is, like, does Brandon Jones retaliate this week?
You know, I think I'm very curious, and I very much want to hear your opinion on this, baby G. But one thing that I heard freaking when I was listening to the Dale Jr. podcast is he was talking about how he had told all of his drivers that you don't punish Ty Gibbs for this. Like, you don't get the win by wrecking him. But he said that he would be okay with a driver who doesn't drive for him, right? He'd have no issue with a driver that doesn't drive for him. I wonder how he feels about a driver who is going to drive for him next
going
year.
Going to. Yeah, yeah.
And he said a driver that doesn't drive for him, and Brandon Jones falls. I don't know.
Look, well, I don't want to. Well, first off, Brandon, Baby G, what do you think?
It's going to be interesting because I think every single guy in that series probably wants to take Ty Gibbs out for all the stuff he's been pulling all season. It's
all year.
It's been every podcast we're talking about Baby Gibbs is being a little shit.
Yeah,
he's doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. He's driving into people on pit lane, putting the crews in danger. So I don't think there's a single driver that's going to be on the track that doesn't want to take him out. But the guys that are going in the finals here, I don't think there's going to be retaliation. It just wouldn't make sense to put yourself at risk when you've got a chance to go drive for a title. But outside of those four, you're probably going to see someone, you know, taking some shots at him at some point in this race.
Yeah. The only reason that I think, and I'm curious how you feel about him also being a Baby G, because I was about to refer to him as Baby G.
Yeah.
Brandon Jones, the only reason he won't do anything, and this I just don't think he will at all, is because it is the final race. It means bonuses. It means all those things to the whole overall organization if Ty gets the job done, right? And so you don't take him out. And it's not just even a maturity thing. It's just the right thing to do. Even as you're on your way out the door, I think he said something. He had a quote, and this is definitely not verbatim, but something along the lines of like, look, I love y'all like family, but I hate this place, or I want to leave, or I can't wait to be gone. And like, I totally see that where you're just like, look, I like the team that I'm with. I didn't choose to leave y'all. I found another opportunity that was the right way to go. But, like, also, fuck racing with this kid or in this organization. It reminds me so much of when Harvick was with RCR and those another kid named Ty and Austin Dillon were coming up, and he was just like, yo, I'm not waiting around for these fucking Silver Spoon kids to get up here and race like assholes. Like, I'm out of here.
He's probably thinking every week, if you give me that car, I'll beat him any given race. You know, he's probably getting the second best car every week, and he's probably just like, this is absolutely BS, I'm out of here, you know?
You know, mm-hmm. I wonder if Brandon Jones would maybe, like, on one hand, I can see that he wouldn't wreck him because it denies bonuses for Ty Gibbs' team.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it would mean if Brandon Jones for the win, wrecking Ty Gibbs means that his team would get bonuses as retaliation and to pay them back. Be like, hey, sorry about y'all missing the fucking playoffs, but here's a little Winsky. Yeah. I don't think he would, but.
No.
I think that I could see, I don't know. Yeah. It seems unlikely, but man, I would love to see it.
Yeah. And now, if they had somehow both made the Final Four and Ty had wrecked him, I think it's fair game, final lap. You can wreck Ty as long as you're still going to win. You know? Yeah. Like, yeah. I think that's a different story, but when you're not part of it, I think you just don't, right? We're going to get to Cup here in about half a second, but it's very similarly to how I feel about Ross having pissed off most of the crowd in the Cup series and how nobody's probably going to touch him in the finale. But we'll see. We'll see. So, anything else on Xfinity, or should we move right on to Cup?
Good reason to tune in on Saturday. There's storylines all across the board, so it's going to be a good championship weekend.
Good drama.
All weekend's going
to
be great.
I just wanted to point out that I did literally say that that Ty Gibbs has a punchable face and that I would punch a 20-year-old.
Oh, yeah. 20-year-old's totally fair.
Yeah, he's over 18. Like, he can handle it.
16 and up, honestly. Like, if a 16-year-old team is not, we had candy out front, and we were, like, watching people come by and, like grab candy from the bowl or whatever. And all I kept thinking was, like, if some little teenager come in here and, like, egg my fuck, I'm going out there and I'm beating the shit out of them. I don't care how old they are. I'm beating the living shit out of them. They take my bowl or they hit my house with eggs. That's all I could think the whole night. I just have rage inside me.
I'm glad that we make enough money that if you were in jail, we would be able to afford the phone fees to still record the podcast.
Yeah, to record the podcast.
Yeah.
Perfect. This is a good plug for we will have a finale episode next week. We might do one over the middle of the season. We got a wedding that we're all going to be at.
Hot mic.
Drunken recording.
The wedding episode.
I think, this would be a lot, but it would be funny to watch all the radioactives together while drunk and just have a hot mic. I'm going to bring my mic just in case, but that would be a lot.
That could be fun. Yeah. Go over the year. Talking about the year, let's talk about Cup. Vegas. Logano wins. He gets in. Blaney doesn't. I want Blaney to win, but he won't.
Yeah. I wanted to make note that Ross finished second there, just because I think he had like a phenomenal round and he's got a lot of momentum right now. Mm-hmm. So I want to make note of that. But that Vegas race was decent. It was just decent. Those mile and a halfs are kind of very hit or miss, obviously, with Texas versus a Charlotte, for instance. But that Vegas race was pretty decent, and I thought pretty tame, all things considered. But there was a lot of drama to it. So
was that the race that was right after Talladega, or was there a race in between?
Yep.
That's why
it was Roval.
Roval then Vegas. But I think even coming out of Roval and all the chaos and the injuries, and Talladega was a tame race, I think some of the drivers were just like, let's tone it down a little bit, get safely through some races here, and then let's go hard in the last couple.
Yeah, well, it's the start of the new round, so it's kind of like, let's get good points. Let's get good points.
Yep.
Because then we got Homestead, get good points, and then Martinsville, where anything can happen. So, you just got to – once you're a round of eight, I mean, it's tough. It is tough to make this round of four. And let's – what happened at Homestead?
All my notes say are LOL Larson wins. He just – got out front and just dominated. The only thing that was kind of interesting was spinning Truex in the pits, but other than that, it was Larson just driving away. Without the cautions in this race, he would have won by 20, 25 seconds easy if there weren't the random cautions that were tightening it up, and then he's just driving away every time they go green. So it was a pretty boring race.
Someone did like an average speed thing where they like looked at the average speed of the lap times. And if the whole race had gone green and they just ran average speed of their green flag lap times, Larson would have won by a lap and a half over Truex and two laps over everyone else.
That's insane.
That's how much faster he was than everyone else. I mean, he was hooked. And the fact that, the guy is so good at running the wall.
Yeah, just driving up at the wall the whole race.
This car is easier, I think, to run at the wall. It's kind of set up to do it a little bit better. Man, he was just right against it the whole time. It never once, maybe he scraped it a couple times. I don't remember them even showing that. Guy just dominated. Speaking of, that's where Reddick had a kind of a tough wreck. And then we go to Martinsville. And Martinsville, I think the first 480 laps, they were fine. You know, they were long. I don't, you know, every time I'm at Martinsville, I'm like, this is a long fucking race. Yeah. You just do so many laps.
Yeah.
But the last 20 laps were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Super good.
It was so exciting. I was watching, so I missed the first bit of the race because I was watching the Bears game, which I think was the right choice. And then I had Martinsville on one screen, a game on the middle screen, and then F1 on my laptop.
F1. Yeah, that's where I was.
I could not peel my eyes away from the end of this race. It was so intense. Yeah. It was such good racing. Lots of good.
Especially, again, this is like 2 weeks in a row where we've gotten F1 and NASCAR at the same time. Mm-hmm. And like, NASCAR is just so much better. It just is. Like, it's just so much more exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so much better.
There's so much more going on.
Yeah. I mean, even one of those was the U.S. Grand Prix, which all in all wasn't that bad of a race, but like, I couldn't even tell you much of what happened there besides the long pit stop for Max and stuff. Well, I guess we'll talk about F1 in a second. So, but how about Reddick's injury? Maybe y'all heard more about this because, like, he got out of the car. Yeah, he just came over the radio and said he had a headache and wasn't feeling well, and he had gotten there was that one restart where I don't remember who was restarting out front, maybe Denny, but like he took a while to get going, like he waited to the last second to actually hit the gas, which is his prerogative for sure. But then when he did that, he stacked up the whole back of the field, and a lot of guys kind of slammed into the guy in front of him trying to get good starts. And he took a pretty good puncture to the front. Like, I wonder if there were some fumes, like a whole fume situation going on.
Maybe.
That or the wreck the week before, adding up, you know, who knows? He just wasn't feeling it.
Either way, I have a lot of respect for someone volunteering themselves out of the race to look after their health.
Yeah, it's tough. It's got to be really tough. I mean, little easier when you're not in the playoffs and still, you know, really fighting for something there. But, I mean, he's still fighting for a points position. And you know, every position means a lot of different pay differences for again, the whole team and everything when you finish slightly higher in the point standing. So, you know, 5th through 16th can be anyone, you know, wherever you're going to finish. So, yeah, beyond that, though, those last 20 laps, obviously, Denny and Ross were getting into it. Denny had the better car, was passing him. Ross, I thought it was, they started out pretty tame.
Man.
Denny ran Ross a little wide. Ross then ran him up the track, which I thought was bold, because then you saw that, like, Ross was inside of Denny, and he braked. He let Denny go, because he knew, if I get in front of Denny, Denny's just going to wreck me.
Yeah.
And he knew he needed to finish the race. So he was just like, it's better for you to go in front, and he, like, slowed himself down. Which then created that giant gap that then Denny got way out in front, started passing more guys, got his points that he needed to put himself in, and created that gap that set up what people are calling the Hail Melon.
Holy shit. That's all I gotta say. Un-fucking believable.
I did not see that coming, and I mean, no one else did. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I was
as good as gets. I mean, That's the greatest move I've ever seen in NASCAR.
I was watching the race on Discord with Big G, and we both literally just started screaming, holy shit, what is happening? Like, what the fuck is happening? And you keep seeing these replays, and it's like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. He literally just goes fifth gear and floors it. Like, unreal.
It looks fake. It just looks fake.
Yeah. The first time they looked back, fake. I was like, why are they playing that in fast forward?
Yeah, same. Yeah, yeah. I think what's like the craziest thing to me about the whole situation is just that, like, he knew he needed those two spots, and so he had no clue that was going to work. He could just as easily could have hit the wall and bounced a couple times and then, like, not even made it through the corner, you know? Had he not really, like, because he leaned the car into the wall, and then he let go of the wheel. He just let it go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people were talking about the fourth turn four has the transition fence where they, like, drive the trucks and stuff out of the infield and all the equipment and stuff. And like he went through it. Like he went, he could have easily like pushed in that a little bit and caught it, and the car could have
literally flipped,
done some kind of yeah. crazy shit. Yeah, and like landed on Briscoe's hood or something insane. Yeah. Like it, just the whole thing, the fact that it worked. I thought the coolest thing about it, because we were all texting obviously at the end of the race, was that NBC was showing him while he went into the corner, and so you saw the beginning of it. And I remember I was like looking at it, and I saw him go in. I was like, did he just lose a tire? Like at Martinsville in the last lap? It's so weird. Because then they cut. Like as soon as he starts hitting the wall, they cut away. And then they're showing the finish line, and you're seeing people come by. And then you see him just speeding through the fucking corner.
Yeah.
Literally, and he passes Hamlin. Hamlin.
He passes Hamlin.
He just flies up next to him, literally. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
Out of nowhere.
It's amazing. It's incredible. So cool.
Yeah.
And the driver's reactions to it, I don't know if y'all saw that. I think that might have come out today or yesterday. But everyone that was driving that was there, like, I think Chase Elliott might have been, like, behind him as he went into the corner. And was just like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, the post-race interviews that they posted on the YouTube channel for the official NASCAR YouTube were awesome. Like, Denny Hamlin, he was just absolutely shell-shocked. You could tell he was obviously upset he didn't make the final four, but end of the day, he's kind of just like, he made a move and it worked, and I don't know what you're supposed to do to stop it.
I love that he said this. He said it was brilliant in the interview.
Yes.
And I thought that was like, that's so cool. And I think it really, that definitely gave me some respect for Denny. Him saying that it's brilliant in that position where we've seen him be salty so many times.
Oh, and for sure. Yeah.
Valid to be salty about that, but I mean, like, credit where credit's due.
Did you guys happen to see the video of the booth where all of a sudden you see the one guy pointing and then Junior just was like, it's a video game move!
Jeff Burton.
Jeff Burton was pointing, he's...
It. Like, Jeff is watching it, and he's like, what the fuck is that? Look at that! Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. They put out some really good stuff really on this, and it really took social media by fire, which is cool. Athletes from other sports and big major outlets, like people that don't even watch racing, number one on SportsCenter, like you said. Yeah, it was cool to see.
That's how it should be. I mean, look, there's been a number of moves and just great racing action through the years that never get that respect, and I don't necessarily want that to be like the thing that everyone remembers about NASCAR, like for a couple reasons, but it also is the unique thing about the sport. You can't fucking touch an IndyCar or an F1 car to a wall without just junking it, you know?
Yeah.
And that car was drivable. Like, his tires were down. He probably broke, like, the toe link. But, like, give him three laps in pit lane, and that car was drivable. He could have kept going. You know? This car's built like a tank.
You know, I think as well that right there, I've been going a bit back and forth on whether or not there needs to be a rule around this, mostly leaning towards no. And now I'm settled in the no column. And in listening to Dale's podcast, they're saying that other people have tried this before. And oftentimes the reason that it doesn't work is because, like, your tire goes down. Whereas on this, his tires weren't damaged at all. I think the fix for this, if NASCAR wants this, like, if people start doing this and it becomes dangerous, which we might see it at Phoenix, but if people start trying this more and more and it does become an issue, then, like, just change the car a bit. Like, change the car so that it can't – I don't know. I think that change the car rather than eliminate it from the rules is the right solution.
Yeah, this was the one of the two rapid-fire questions that I had come up with was, like, should this be outlawed? And I honestly am very on the fence because, like, in some ways – I also don't want to see five or six guys doing it at the end of races, right? I think, like, there's certain situations in where, like I think it's okay. And in that situation, I think it's okay. But I thought it was interesting because, like, Denny, when he crossed the line, he's still talking to Chris Gabehart. He says, I gave it my all, Chris. And my response immediately was, like, clearly you didn't. Clearly you didn't do that. Had you done that, you might have finished, like, first or second and won, and, you know, still advanced. Which would have been that I don't want to see that, though. I don't want to see two guys doing it at the same time. So
I also like, it's never going to be impressive to see someone whip that out again.
Never. Yeah.
And like it's also going to be the type of thing where it's only teams with money that can do it.
Yeah, that's the thing too that kind of sucks, is just like you're bringing back the car and having to get it, like, you know, fixed. But like in that situation, that's, you know, this track house, this is their second year and they have a car in the final four. That's crazy. 100%
the right choice for them. Yeah, like, so very worth it for them. But I think, like, if this is the type of thing that would happen regularly, then it's only the teams that can afford to fix the car.
Corey LaJoy is not going to send it.
For other things, though, he didn't win the race. Chastain didn't win the race. Christopher.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the winner of the race, which is crazy.
The final four, which is amazing.
He's a fucking wheel man.
Yeah.
That guy's awesome.
He was a monster. I mean, like, he just drove away.
Forget fucking Ty Gibbs coming to Joe Gibbs. The most exciting driver at Joe Gibbs is Christopher Bell and will be for a long time. Mm-hmm. Ty might come up and he might be really good too, but Christopher Bell is really fucking good. Like, there's a reason, in a stable of Martin Truex, Kyle Busch, and Denny Hamlin, only one guy made it to the Final Four and his name is Christopher Bell. That guy is a wheel man. He knows how to deliver.
Yeah. I mean, it was just solid, consistent driving from him. And, I mean, like, you know, I think it really showed with how fast he drove away from, like, Blaney and everyone else with those restarts, which we had a bunch of restarts at the end. Blaney was once again doing well, and then we had restarts and he did poorly. It's a classic story of being a Blaney fan that he does well and is in the lead and then doesn't win.
You know what sucks is Blaney could have pulled the Ross move and he would have won the race and he would have advanced. But he doesn't want it as bad as Ross does. That's what it is. I hate to say it. We're all Blaney babes. And in fact, our predictions for the final four, I think all of us ended up one driver off and it was, we all missed Blaney.
New guy was 3 of 4.
It's because Denny was in.
Yep, Denny was in, and then
he got knocked out. That's right.
Yep.
Sorry, ding dongs. Let's see. Anything else about the Cup race that we want to cover before moving on?
One thing that we forgot to mention about Vegas was the big controversy that happened there, and I'm really glad that Bell won because he got taken out during this. But Bubba comes off of turn 4.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The
wall.
Oh my god.
And he straight left turns it, right hooks the guy right up into the wall. And then, like, I mean, he came at him aggressive. I thought, like, when they showed it on TV, it just looked like it was some pushing. But that first push, like, when they see it from the side angle, like, Bubba went to the ground how hard he pushed.
He unloaded on him.
Like a wrecked race car. Yeah, dude. He's lucky he didn't take any swings. And you know, I they don't really penalize guys for the fight. They needed to penalize him for the action with the race car. Yeah. But they also should have punished Noah Gragson earlier in the year for doing the same thing in an Xfinity race at a road course. Uh-huh. And they should have done the same thing to Ty Gibbs when he almost put Ty Dillon into, or I forget if it was Ty Dillon's crew or he was pushing Ty Dillon into some crew members. I forget. But, like, this shit, like, of just being, again, they say, like, using it as a weapon. And I think that's a great way to describe it. And it's a subjective thing. But when you use it as a weapon, that's too dangerous. Like, you're taking it too far.
I mean, like,
right hooking a guy anywhere is just wrong. You shouldn't.
Someone's gonna get really fucking hurt from this.
Yeah,
and it's like unhinged to right hook someone and then get out of your car and run over and attack him. Like,
yeah. Like that was just unhinged. You've already said you made your point very clear already, but. I think there's definitely maturity things on Bubba's side for sure that he needs to grow on, and hopefully, you know, the week out, like, he's being remorseful about it and he's learning from it. But at the same time, like, it kind of sucks that, like, with all of the things that have to go on for Bubba anyway, he's the one they decide to make an example out of. You know, like, have they been doing this for 3 years already, penalizing guys when this kind of shit happens? Sure, but, like, damn, they were not in a good place. The other thing that I really liked about this weekend, especially about the Ross incident or the Ross just rocket ship, is that NASCAR finally had a week where they came out with good news. You know, no controversy.
Yeah.
No, nothing weird. Like, just nobody mad because someone did or didn't get penalized. Just a fucking good race. Great finish. Yeah. Two guys will their way in the final corner. I mean, that's as good as it gets. That's the playoff system. And guess what? Because of this playoffs and because of the way that this playoffs has played itself out, we're going to see the playoff system for forever now. This is it. And I'm glad. I dig it.
I think the cherry on top for this one would be Chastain or Bell, a new winner of this the championship. Yeah. That would really just kind of kick off and really, I think, put this playoff system into the next level.
Agreed. So before we jump over...
I'm going to revise one thing that I said very quickly, mm-hmm. which is that if I saw this again, I wouldn't be impressed. I think the only person who can get away with it again is if Chastain uses this move at Phoenix to win the championship. That's the only scenario in which I'm okay with seeing it. I'll be impressed to see it again.
All
right, sorry. Yeah,
No, I was going to get into the race prediction, but let's go into F1 and Indy and talk about the U.S. Grand Prix and the Mexican Grand Prix real quick, and then.
So the only real thing that I want to bring up with the U.S. Grand Prix, Alonso and Stroll got into each other. So Stroll, he's like had a history of not using his mirrors or doing weird blocks, and Alonso is passing him on a straight. Stroll just slowly drifts to the left, and then Alonso hits him, gets up on his wheel, and gets launched up in the air, but his rear wheels stay on the ground. And then he crashes to the ground, hits the left wall a little bit, and then drives the fucking thing back to the garage. They put a new front wing on, changes wheels, and then he finishes in, like, seventh place.
Way in the points. Yeah,
unbelievable. Voice, the radio after that crash, like he sounded shaken up, shook up.
Yeah.
It was really, really impressive. I mean, Alonso just continues to show. I mean, the fact that he jumps around team to team to team and has a reputation for being really hard to work with, that shows something about him. But this also shows something really about him, and like, he's one of the best racers out there, I would say. Like, yeah. I would say that he's top three drivers on that grid. It's just that he's not going to be put into one of the best cars because, they want to invest on younger drivers.
I get that. There's a piece to that, but like, this is part of the stuff that frustrates me about F1 is like how hard it is to tell who the best drivers are. Because, like, so much of it is politics and money.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for NASCAR, they've gone through phases like that. But honestly, like, it's pretty easy to tell who the wheelmen are. Like, you can really tell. Yeah. And any given week, especially in this given car, I mean, everyone's winning. Everyone's showing it. Everyone's getting there. And Fernando's had those opportunities and obviously a pretty long career. Doesn't he have – he's, like, pretty high up there on the, like, most starts list, right?
Yeah. And he's won a – he's won at least one championship.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he just won, I think. But, I think he's, like, third on the all-time starts list at this point or something like that. Because I think he only needed one more season to pass whoever's leading in that. Really, really hate F1 for that. That and then this weekend with the Daniel Ricciardo incident that, like, I mean, obviously I'm a little biased here because I like Danny Ric a lot too, but like the whole, you can't put your nose in there and the guy can't fucking respect it. That's just bullshit. I am sorry. Like, put those guys in NASCARs. They would just freak out. They would have no clue what to do.
Yeah. You know? It's crazy.
That's the only reason that I feel like a NASCAR driver might fare better in F1 than an F1 driver would fare in NASCAR. I honestly feel that way.
The like mentality.
Yeah, I just feel like your best road course ringers or someone like maybe even like AJ Allmendinger right now that's so good at so many road courses could probably get in an F1 car and do pretty good laps. But then like when you put him in a race, he's going to be very, very ultra cautious and everything, but he's going to get some good lap times. And so overall, he's probably going to do all right. If you put an F1 guy into NASCAR and he starts getting beat around, I mean, this happened to, what's his name? Iceman.
Kimi Raikkonen.
Kimi Raikkonen, yeah. That he was getting banged around a bunch, and then he eventually got taken out because it's a different mentality to be out there and know that guys are going to run into you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's I just think it takes a little bit more adjusting to when you're not so governed by these unwritten rules of being like gentleman drivers. Like, you just have to get by. You just have to make it work. You just have to ride the wall.
I will say that for all that we complain about the bullshittery that goes on in NASCAR rulings, it's nothing compared to the bullshittery that goes on in F1 rulings. I mean, F1 is inscrutable and just crazy. It's soap opera. It's more soap opera than any other sport.
Just about anything. Yeah.
Which is kind of what I like
about this.
It's crazy.
This
so,
Red Bull penalty.
Red Bull and Aston Martin both overspent last year. So F1 has put a cost cap on, spending cap on, which something that I think they've needed to do for a while. But one of the ways that they try to level the field is they limit the amount of wind tunnel time different teams get. So the higher up you finish overall in a season, the less wind tunnel time you get, to try to equalize the playing field. So Red Bull overspent by like a few percent. And as a punishment, I think that they lose 15 or 20% of the wind tunnel time that was allotted to them, which now means that they have a total of 50% of the time that Williams will have, which I believe is the last place team. Well, they'll have 50% of the time that the last place team will have in the wind tunnel. It's sort of I think that this is sort of like about as appropriate of a ruling that F1 could have done, because like I can see why they don't want to drop a huge punishment on Red Bull, because this was not a massive overspend, but they are limiting the development potential. But at the same time, Red Bull's already super far ahead. So like,
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see how it plays out next year.
Well, I think the thing is like I get it gets really tough because it's kind of like the Houston Astros when they won the World Series and then got caught for cheating. It's like, you don't necessarily want to take away the title because it's already been awarded. Like, you're only taking it away I'm losing track of my terms here. Like, it's symbolic. It's symbolic that you're taking it away. On paper, yeah. Everyone else will know that they won, right? But everyone else already knows that they're cheaters. So in my opinion, like, Red Bull is tainted. That championship already had an asterisk for other reasons on it. Now it's got two. In my opinion, Max is going to win his first title this year. But, like, you know, he's got a trophy sitting in his house. Like, they're not going to take that away. Yeah. So it is what it is. But it really is, like, why can't they figure this shit out in the days to follow? Like, why is it a fucking year later they're still figuring this out?
Accounting is hard, I guess.
I would agree.
Maybe you can speak to this.
Come on.
I would agree. Accounting's hard, you guys.
It takes a while to see where all the money goes,
it's
right?
It's just numbers. I'm going to program your job away, just so you know.
AI is coming to take my job. I've been told that for the last 10 years. Hasn't happened yet.
Hey,
just got to keep screwing things up, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, that's all F1. What a weird sport. Yeah. You know, they talk about one last thing about it is that they talk about these different things being team sports. And I think that the longer that I have watched F1, the more that I have come to realize how true that is with F1, except that, like, the game is always going on and the teams are always competing, even when they're not at the track. And sometimes the team sport element of it is some whiny F1. You know, office workers sending a email to the FIA being like, hey, fucking Ferrari is using the wrong air ducts. Those are illegal. Or like, how
that's the whole politics side to it where I really have always hated that side. I mean, every F1 documentary you watch is like, here's this amazing driver who would have done so much better if not for the politics, right? And it's like, what the fuck
is
this sport?
It's so dumb.
This
I
isn't a sport.
It.
It's not a sport.
It. I love it.
Right.
It's so dumb.
We're done with it. We're done.
I'm beaming back in now. We're done with F1.
Beaming back in, baby G. Let's talk about Phoenix. Obviously, all three series finished their championships at Phoenix. We have a Friday night race for the truck race at 10. Wait, that can't be right.
Yeah, you had them on Western time.
Oh, did I?
Yep.
Okay, well, that makes sense because that's how NASCAR was showing it to me. That's at 10 p.m.? That's
yeah, it's late, man. Late race.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like that's later than when we went last year.
Put a late pot on and get a sitter for the kids, I guess.
I guess that makes sense because Phoenix is, it's mountain time, I guess. But, okay, Xfinity's 6 p.m. on Saturday, and Cup is 3 p.m. on Sunday. Those are East Coast times if you're on the least coast over there.
Hey,
on the West Coast.
Get
subtract 3 hours. And
drag them.
You know, watch the race and then have a nap and then go out because that's what you can do on the West Coast. It's amazing.
Wow.
How many laps per stage do we got, Baby G?
60 stage 1, 125 stage 2, 127 stage 3, total of 312 laps for the championship.
Ooh. Wow. 312, that's my area code.
Nice. It's also a very average beer, so there you go.
Yeah.
not our sponsor, because it's not good enough. It's not good enough.
Our fun fact for this is that
such a good descriptor of that beer.
Yeah,
it's exceeding.
Really
it's aggressively average.
Wait till you get here out here and you have some Rainier beer. That's exceedingly average beer, right there.
Oh, I drank a bunch of that when I was out at.
It's great. Yeah. I enjoy it. I always have my fridge with some of it. Yeah. But our fun fact for Phoenix is that we were there a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Very different point in our lives. Okay, we should do a podcast reflecting on that a little bit.
Wow.
Speaking about points in our lives, new guy almost fell asleep at the race.
Yeah, I was hungover. We got drunk the night before and had been drinking all day and had been drinking at the race the night before.
Was the night before when we went to the barn or whatever outside of it? Okay.
Yeah, we went
that
to
was
the barn.
Fun.
I had a good time.
We got her.
A guy hustled me at cornhole, and I had to buy him a drink, and the line was really long.
Yeah, he beat the shit out of us.
I was so bad. and then I was hungover, and it was warm. And, you know, like, sometimes you just keep hearing the... And you're, like, warm, and you got your headphones on, and just honk-shoe, sleepy town.
Yeah, sure.
Is this the reason why the peanuts didn't get finished and had to come all the way to Daytona? He was too hungover to eat peanuts?
They would have made it.
Wow, this is incredible insight.
That's funny. Yeah, those peanuts, man. Yeah, they traveled.
Good
those
peanuts.
Those tasted good, man, in that Daytona heat.
They were good peanuts.
Yeah.
They were some good peanuts. They got, extra salty somehow. All right, so let's talk our picks. I want us to pick someone going to be able to keep the notes here. I want us to pick our champions for each of the three series. We can randomize the order. I think we'll just start with new guy. You can start trucks first. I'll go second, and Baby G will go third, and then that means Baby G will get the first cup pick. So
perf.
We'll do it that way. So new guy, who's your pick for truck? We have Ty Majeski, Zane Smith, Ben Rhodes, or Chandler Smith.
I'm going to say Ben Rhodes.
Ben Rhodes, all right. So previous champion going for the repeat.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna take Ty Majeski and go for that that momentum. Which of the Smiths do you have?
You took my Wisconsin boy Majeski. Let's go.
I know I did.
Let's go, Blaine.
Yoink. Sorry, Zane.
Zane. Old Blaney boy.
Zane Smith.
All right. So Xfinity, I'll take first. We have Josh Berry, Noah Gragson, Allgaier, and obviously Ty Gibbs. I'm going to go with Noah Gragson. Just in two. Actually,
damn
you
it.
Know what? I'm not. I'm going to go with Josh Berry. I'm going to go with Josh Berry. I'm changing it up. I'm going with Josh Berry.
I was going to go with Gragson, but I'm going to go.
It's not your turn. It's
Baby
G's turn.
I am going to jump in, and Gragson, he's been having an awesome season. I think he closes it out. He's been so good this year.
Wait, sorry. Brian, who did you say?
I'm Josh Berry.
Okay. I'm going to be Allgaier.
Nice. All right. I was wondering if you were going to go for the Gibbs bait. All right. To be honest, my heart on that
I
one
think
is
he could
Allgaier. I really want to see Allgaier or Berry win, but Allgaier, with how long he's been in the series, it would just be so sweet to see him win.
Cup, I am taking Elliott.
Oh, Chase. Oh, the one thing we didn't talk about this with the final four for a cup is that Chase can win the driver's championship, but not the owner's. So if he wins the driver's championship, that means someone else will have won the owner's championship.
Ooh, that's fun.
Larson is the one that's in his place for the owner's.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, yeah, we'll cool. see what happens there. Is it me second? No, I'm third. The new guy, you're second.
I'm going to say Ross Chastain.
Yeah, I like it. Dig the pick. I'm going with the bellboy. You just can't count him out. It's a do or die race. It's the final do or die race, and the guy gets up on the wheel.
Man, I just have no idea. This is going to be such a good race. I've got no idea who's going to win. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm in New Orleans on a company trip this weekend.
Ooh,
and
play some
I'm
sports bets, man.
Going to make some real effort to at least watch the end of this race.
All right, I think this is what you need to do for us. If you're in New Orleans, can you go to the casino and drop some sports bets for us? Let's do parlays with our picks.
I can just do sports bets for you from my phone.
What a concept.
Let's do it.
What a concept.
I think it would be fun to see what we get out of that. Cool. All right, well, we got a action-packed weekend at Phoenix. Let's go through rapid-fire really quickly.
Wait, what about our
questions.
Picks for the Final Four? Well, we already mentioned it. I just wanted to bring it up again that I guessed
that
3 out of 4 and both of you guessed 2 out of 4.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We all had Blaney, so we all lost.
Yeah, without that Chastain move, it would have been flipped 3-3 for B-Boy and Baby G, 2 for New Guy. But
I guess
Hail Melon.
I guess the only thing that I could say is that I wanted it more.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's get a little rapid with this fire.
All right, it's all y'all's questions. Yeah.
Start
nice.
Us off.
Nailed it.
Wait, we already covered one of yours, so you only need to do one.
Yeah, I don't have any. It's just you two.
Oh, okay.
Let's be rapid.
What do y'all think are, you know, let's take this positive energy and turn it around. What do you think are some of the main ways that NASCAR could fuck up the success of this season over the coming years? What do you think you're most worried about NASCAR doing to potentially fuck things up over the next couple of years?
I mean, they could fuck up the car.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like they're going to have to do a bunch of changes to the car. They already have planned changes to the car, and honestly, it could just get a lot worse, right? Or it could become something where one of the manufacturers has a clear advantage. I mean, all the things that they've dealt with in the past, it's hard because you finally get something right and then it's wrong in all the other ways. But this is the first iteration, so I have faith that they won't mess it up that way. And then I think the only other thing is continue to iterate at the pace that they've been iterating at. At a certain point, you do need to settle in and be like, this is our sport, right? Like, this is what we do. We are going to have cool, like, Chicago street courses and Coliseum races. But they're not the majority of the races, right? Like we do the normal schedule, the races that we've been at, Darlington and Charlotte that we've been at for all these years. We're not going to change those. We're going to keep those for sure. Just cool it a little bit at a certain point and stay even. I'm a little afraid they won't.
For me, one thing that could really set them back is if these off-track driver conflicts or on-track driver conflicts where you got guys intentionally wrecking people, if something goes seriously wrong where, let's say when Bubba right, you know, does the hook and you hit the wall, the guy gets seriously injured, or after that incident he gets out of the car, he doesn't just push him, he punches him, knocks him out, takes him out for 4 or 5 races, that's going to be front page news because ESPN's going to be all over something stupid like that versus a whole season of great racing. They would absolutely love to just bury NASCAR because it's not on their platform. So I think they got to be extremely careful with letting the drivers get too out of control with some of these off-track incidents. It's always been part of the sport, but seems like it may need
really
to be dialed back a little bit.
It's like in hockey. I mean, in hockey they have fights, right? And then in the NFL, like, Devontae Adams, like, pushed someone over because he was in the way.
Oh, yeah, he barely touches him like a feather.
Like, he's now getting sued, right? Like, what point does that become, it's not an on-the-track thing anymore, right? Like, it's something that carries over week to week and is, like, an outside-the-sport-handled situation. I agree. You always just worry about those in every sport. But I think motorsports always has the potential to have something way worse happen, right?
So. Yeah, higher ceiling for how bad things can go wrong. I think my biggest concern is like just getting too cute with track selection, sticking around at, this isn't cute, but if they stick, if they leave Texas, if this is like Chicago street race turns out to be bad, but they're locked in for 3 years. And they also keep on adding more street races, like, and those
keep
not being
good.
Yeah, they
definitely shouldn't add more. Yeah.
I think that the car is great, and you know, like you were saying, I think that they are going to keep on iterating on it well. But yeah, I think tracks are the only variable that I really am concerned about. At least like NASCAR having a hand in for making things.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Fucking it up. Hey, baby G.
I'll jump in here. So looking back on the season so far, what's your guys' favorite moment? Race, driver doing something crazy.
Jeez, I feel like the Hail Melon is just superb. I mean, it's one of the best moments in NASCAR.
Yeah,
honestly,
in all of motorsports, I think outside of that.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were gonna say something, B boy. Go ahead, vamp. Fill the air.
I'm gonna go. Man, Suarez's win was so heartwarming. Like, it's the one that,
dude,
like...
yeah.
That was special.
I love
Kurt Busch in the Jordan car that is now his, like, potentially final win. Like, you know, there's certain moments that this season has brought that just I never thought we would get. I honestly thought we were heading for, like... I don't know, maybe I'm being pessimistic here, but I thought we were heading for, like, a doomsday in terms of, like... only the established owners could ever win, and they'd bully everyone else out of the sport, and that the track houses and 2311s of the world couldn't survive. I think, like, overall, those moments that were for the smaller teams were just so great. I mean, hell, look at Petty GMS and Eric Jones on a redemption story getting his win. That's dope. I mean, those are just great. I like all of those moments.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you on Suarez winning being my favorite moment outside of Chastain. Like, that was just so... he's fought so long and so hard for it, and he finally fucking got it. It was amazing. Outside of that, like, taking my friend who got into F1 to a NASCAR race was pretty cool.
Oh, that's a great race, too.
You know, it's a more personal moment, but it was great.
Baby G, what's your moment?
For me, man, just Daytona. Fucking sitting there with 120,000 people, like, drinking beers, beautiful weather. Like, it was just awesome. Like, can't wait to get to more tracks in the future. That just kind of solidified for me, like, NASCAR's pretty cool. Like, I am less of a football fan than I've ever been. Like, Sunday, I was watching the race over whatever garbage football games were in my local area. So it's kind of funny how that flipped for me. It's just, like, kind of one of those sport moments where, like, this is pretty damn cool, and I'm going to start watching this more. And, you know, I'm a huge Milwaukee Bucks fan. I've got season tickets for there. That's where a lot of my sports energy is. I don't like baseball at all, and kind of NASCAR's my 2A or 2B with hockey for sports right now outside of basketball. It's kind of funny how that happens.
I feel you. That's what happens when the Packers suck, though. I'm used to the Falcons.
And when your quarterback's a complete prick, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, for sure.
That seems to be a Packers habit, honestly.
Yeah. 10 years in Green Bay will do that to a man.
All right, new guy. Next one. Hit us.
Oh, boy. How do y'all feel about... do y'all see this snow race that's going to be happening in NASCAR Europe?
Ooh, yeah, I did. It's on ice, right? Snow and ice.
It's like a snow and ice race. How do you feel about that? That's cool. How do you think that's going to turn out?
That's cool. It's kind of like, you know, racing the stock cars on dirt, where, like, there are better cars to drive on dirt, and there are better vehicles to drive on snow and ice that are going to be more entertaining. But it's cool. I like that they keep pushing the boundaries with it. In the same way that I like that they have the Garage 56 thing going on, right? Like I want to see the Cup car running at Le Mans and stuff. And they've been having a lot of updates recently too. So I think it's cool. But, like, obviously, like, NASCAR don't get any dumb funny ideas. So
yeah, I hadn't heard of this, and I looked it up, and that's gonna be something. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, I'll watch like a 5-minute YouTube video.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be tuning up for that one.
I think it'd rule if it just turns out to be incredible, and then next year NASCAR's like, hey, by the way, we're adding the Alaska race. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm down for chaos. I'm down for people. Yeah, sports getting a little wild here. So.
New guy. The guy 5 minutes ago that said, don't get too cutesy, NASCAR.
Yeah, now he's all in.
Well, if they... sorry. Okay, thank you. Yes, let me clarify. Any city, if they flood the streets and then freeze them and then race cars there, I'm down.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I'm so down. Street ice racing, sure.
Ice. Let's go. Ice. Okay.
Ross would be good. He could ride the wall.
Speaking of Ross, we know Chastain's rocking the GameCube NASCAR Heat 2005. What video games, racing-wise, did you guys grow up with?
Oh, jeez. Every one of them. I remember NASCAR 98, dude, on the N64. I actually have it. It's in the other room. I've been playing NASCAR games as long as it goes. I mean, NASCAR Thunder were some of the best games. Period. I remember when iRacing first came out, and I just was like too young to be good at it, and it was kind of bad at the beginning. And now obviously, like, iRacing's the pinnacle, and that's what you do. But Forza, GTA 3, or Gran Turismo, not GTA.
Yeah, I played Gran Turismo 3 A-Spec for the PS2. That was one of them where they had some of those 100-lap races where you could just literally rubber band your controller and, like, Chastain said, you just ride the wall in the video game and it would just work. You come back like 3 hours later and hope it finished to get all those coins or dollars or whatever for your team. But the other weird one that I always played was Trackmania for the PC. I don't know if you guys dip your toes into Trackmania, but that was a weird one where you could just download these insane tracks, and that was always fun.
Yeah, I was always, I unfortunately grew up thinking that NASCAR was lame.
You're not the only one on this podcast.
Yeah.
It honestly speaks really well to the things NASCAR is doing. Although for me, it was actually like iRacing that got me into NASCAR. You know, I was definitely more into the surreal racing. Like, there were, deep cuts that I forget the names of because I played them on, like, the N64 back in the day. But basically any sci-fi racing game that was sort of Mario Kart-y and you getting power-ups and attacks.
Crash Bandicoot.
Those I did a bunch.
Do you remember the game PS2? It was, like, there was an ice cream truck that could, launch rockets.
Twisted Metal?
Twisted Metal. Yeah. Yes, that's a deep cut.
I remember getting a game that was similar to that for the N64 and renting it from Best Buy. So, anyway, there you go.
Good story. Thanks. I think I just want to close with this. My favorite memory of NASCAR games, or just motorsports games in general, is just like waking up Christmas morning and getting our PS2, and my brothers, who weren't really that into NASCAR, and us, like, you know, the PS2 was you had the ability to plug in the four controllers, and obviously you could do that with the N64 too, but this was like real gaming for once. And the game that we decided to play was NASCAR, because we could all get out there and work together. My little brother was super young. We were teaching him how to draft and just, like, doing that all day. That's just, like, a memory that sticks with me for life, you know?
That rules. Yeah, that's great.
Cool. That was a great rapid fire. All the four of those questions are awesome. I'm glad I didn't come up with any, because I thought it would have, like, dampened the mood with serious shit.
Episode 18, we are dialing it in on these rapid fires.
Dialing it in.
I came in feeling it. Look at us. We're doing it.
Well, that brings us to the end of rapid fire. And brings us right to our outro. We don't have to do an announcement on the standings because we kind of went over who's all on the final four. We will have another episode next week breaking down Phoenix and everything.
I will do the standings.
Kind of looking forward to. Yeah.
Next week. I'll both announce the standings in the playoffs after the race.
Yeah.
Which is that I'll tell you who the winner is.
Nice.
And then
we'll post
it
on Twitter.
I can get the full rundown as well.
We'll make sure we get it out there. But yeah, if you enjoyed this podcast or you enjoy us, follow us at Podcast Big One on Twitter. I really want us all to be a little bit more active there, especially in the off season. And you know, start out next season strong. The coolest thing about this season, I know we went through the favorite moments, but the coolest thing about the season is that we, even though we took a couple breaks, we made it through a whole fucking season, new guy.
Whoa.
And we added a podcast partner during it. That's
I gotta
amazing.
Say, Baby G, you're the wind beneath our wings to really push us to the end of the season. Having a third person to be like, having three people that can poke and be like, hey, should we do the podcast? That's really the secret sauce, I think. So thanks for coming for the ride, Baby G.
Appreciate it. Appreciate being welcomed on this season.
A true joy. And with that, I brought us into this world, and God damn it, I can take us out of this world. So I'm doing it. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Great talking at you this week, and we'll see you after Phoenix.
Yeah, we will. Go Phillies.
Go Bears.
Let's go Bucks.
All right, bye. See you.